Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Cheeseheads. Welcome to another episode of the Cheese Room podcast. Today we're talking about a crushing last minute defeat to Wolves. Times are hard at the moment, but here to discuss the game all the way from South London, it's Mr. Paul Muir. How you doing, Paul?
I was all right until probably about 15 minutes ago when they scored in the 91st and the 97th minute. But yeah, there's quite a lot to talk about in that game, I think. So, yeah, looking forward to having a chat with you chaps.
Yeah, well, we've obviously experienced it against Liverpool. Last-minute winners feel glorious, but, yeah, they're very hard to take when it's the other way around. Also joining away from Brazil, very early for Bren. You had an early start. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, 9:30 start for me today, so no beers while watching. Recovering from last night's beers. Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to a kid's birthday party. I've got my Speedos. That's weird. I'm going to a birthday
party. U-tree, Operation U-tree.
No, it's by the beach, like, so I've got the Speedos on. For a kid's birthday party later on. So
Brendan, yeah? Do you have different Speedos for like different kind of like events, occasions?
Yeah,
he's got some posh ones. Yeah,
some Bill Brown ones or something like that.
It's a black tie event. Oh, I'll take my posh Speedos. What a life! Right. I mean, we haven't got to share our feelings about the last game against Chelsea, which was a very hard one to take. I mean, the result for me in that game was kind of meaningless once half of our team had been sent off and were injured. Like the Van der Ven, I just feel like everyone in the crowd, that just sucked the life out of us because we just knew like it's a hamstring injury. That's not good news. Then is, you know, we've got Romero getting a red card, which in hindsight, it's probably deserved. Udogi getting your second one. Madison going off injured. It was just like a disaster watching a game which we looked like we were going to win and we looked like we were going to control that game comfortably, just slowly disintegrate before our eyes and have meaningful impact on potentially the rest of the season, because now we are under the cosh and we saw that today with the team selection, which we always start with. Paul, what did you think? I mean, there wasn't really a huge amount of options in centre-back, was there? We've talked about Phillips. You don't think he's ready. And then the other choice was really, what do we do with Madison? Do we go with a Gio or, you know, someone slightly more attacking? or do we go with Højbjerg, Skip, someone like that? And, you know, he seemed to make his slightly defensive choice, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Højbjerg, well, I've got a few notes about Højbjerg. I don't think he was that good today. So, you know, obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing. Yeah, when the lineup came out, I wasn't too sure whether it be Davis at left back or left centre back, and then Royale switching with him. But obviously Davis, who did very well today, I thought yeah, he quite rightly got you know, like some people's man of the match, which you can quickly see on social media now. I was a bit worried about getting the ball in the midfield. I know Dyer used to play like the six role and stuff, so he should be able to pass it. But sometimes we take an extra touch and then before you know it, we'd be getting swamped and stuff. But the actual lineup itself, I was all right about it, to be honest. You know, I was happy to see a bit more of Brennan Johnson as well. As not only did he score, but I thought he looked really good on Monday night before the football gods decided to rip the fucking living soul out of our season. And that's what I was looking forward to as well, seeing Johnson up against their fullbacks, I thought he would definitely have the beating of them. The lineup itself, yeah, apart from the Højbjerg kind of maybe Bentancur coming straight back in, that was the only thing that was really kind of like up for grabs for me. And then obviously Big Ange's gone for Højbjerg.
Yeah. And Bren, you know, Richarlison, sort of injury that seemed to come out of nowhere. He's had to have an operation this week. So our choices off, you know, the bench and selection choices weren't really that great, were they?
Yeah, you're right. We had to play Brennan Johnson, or the alternative was Brian Hill. We know that Ange likes to play the forwards, sort of wingers, sort of that hug the touchline. So we didn't really, it was either Brennan Johnson or Hill. And Johnson played well in the sort of 20 minutes he was on against Chelsea before we had to take him off. And obviously, it started well, I thought, with the goal, but he was, I thought it was a good outlet. And Kulusevski, for me, his running, he was superb today, I thought. For me, those talks of, prior to the two goals that went in, our man of the match, for me, I thought Kulusevski was superb and just calming things down, stretching the play with his running. He's got an engine on him. But yeah, we were limited.
Yeah, limited. I mean, we had Dorrington, Phillips and Donnelly all on the bench. I mean, Brian is, I guess, part of the senior team now, but Valise again starts. So we've got lots of youngsters on there because we've got so many injuries now and suspensions that the squad instantly starts to look threadbare. I feel like it was only two or three games ago that we were saying how impressive the bench was, how things can change in football, I guess. But have you not heard anything sort of in the Brazilian grapevine about Richarlison? Because that injury didn't really seem to have been flagged at any point, did it?
Yeah, it coincided with him not being called up for the Brazilian national team. And I think he took his chance then. Whether it's been affecting his performances, I don't know. I think his effort, I don't think, is in question. So maybe it was just something that he needed to sort out. He called it his pelvic bone was the issue. He had to put in the word bone, didn't he? but yeah, he was obviously dropped against Chelsea, and maybe he was like, well, I've lost my place in the first team, not getting called up for Brazil, so I might as well get this done now. I think it's only a month out. I don't think it's that long that he's going to be out for, and if it does improve when he comes back, then all good.
Yeah, I did see an interview or some sort of comments this week about him being in extreme pain with it. So I don't know whether he's using that as a sort of an excuse for some of his performances. But I don't think his performances have been that different from what we've seen from him for a long time. So who knows? But like you say, yeah, maybe it's an opportunity. But it does feel a bit badly timed in that sense. But I suppose Brian Hill's back, Lo Celso, we've got enough maybe attacking options. I don't know. But the big thing for me is that Maddison missing in that team is huge. And well, as we talk about the game, we'll probably point that out in several situations. But let's get into the game. And a dream start, really, because it did feel like, to me, we were going to struggle offensively. You looked at that team, you thought, there's not really any playmakers in there, and Son could well be isolated. So to get that early goal was really important. What do you think of it, Paul? It was sort of good movement, I thought, from Johnson. He started with him on the left wing, didn't he? And he passed it across. And then it wasn't really like a decisive run. He just sort of meandered over there and slipped into the right position, didn't he? And some good work with Porro and Kulu on the right.
Yeah, I thought we started to press. We looked for the first 4 or 5 minutes. We like pressed the ball quite high. We got the ball back. And then I think, yeah, as you said, it's a slip. And then like a nice little kind of overlapping run from Porro, and he slipped in nicely by Kulusevski, kind of little kind of Cruyff kind of back heel, and then yeah, just Johnson. I think it was very similar to the goal that Son scored against Brentford when he just like it went right to the byline and it came in and he just like he slotted it in. It was quite similar to that one, if I can remember correctly. But yeah, fantastic start. And yeah, Johnson using that kind of, he's lightning quick over 10 feet. And we saw that the other night on Monday night. To accelerate 10, 15 metres, he's very, very quick. Yeah, he got there before the fullback and slotted it in. Yeah, dream start. And then it was just a question of like, do we go for a second or do we hold on? And we all know how that held on.
It was quite inverted though as well. It sort of summed up the game. Like the first few minutes they switched off. They weren't on it. They let us cut through them. And in the last 3 minutes we did the same to them. So it was the parallels or the symmetry or whatever you want to call it was notable.
Yeah, and also the fact that we don't tend to start games particularly quickly. We've said that a few times this season, that we've been a bit slow. But it was just one decisive move, and I think that's it. And lo and behold, I don't know what you think about this, Brent, but like sometimes you score too early, because basically for the rest of the half, we struggled to create any opportunities, didn't we?
Yeah, I did say that in the pod chat, just to be scored too early here, but because we were just talking about the trumpet. Like it was the obviously the dedication to Remembrance Day, and I was watching the woman play the trumpet and she wasn't moving her fingers. I'm like, is this dubbed? Is this record? Is this like Top of the Pops back in the 90s where she's not actually playing the trumpet?
Fucking hell.
And then I was just watching, then suddenly we scored. But yeah, it is a case of, because sometimes that just sort of sets the tone for the rest of the game. So it then becomes defence against attack. And I think Wolves, like, because we're used to sort of bossing the ball. I think Wolves had a lot of the ball today, and compared to other games that we've played, and certainly away from home, we do tend to boss possession. But you're right, I think perhaps it was a bit too soon to score.
I mean, that first half, we still had lots of possession. It was weird. It didn't feel like it to me. I don't know about you, Paul. It felt like they were sort of putting the pressure on. But we had the ball. But again, it was just a lack of penetration. We didn't create chances. I think we only maybe had one or two shots in that first half. And as they got into it, Wolves were the one that was sort of putting on the pressure and having a few spells of attack, weren't they?
Yeah, I agree. It's like when we did break and we had the ball in like the wide areas, either Johnson or Kulu, we were looking for like an inside pass to Saar or even someone like Madison, and it wasn't there because obviously, you know, we didn't want to like commit too many men forward, and Højbjerg wasn't really kind of that offensively minded today. So we really missed it. We really missed Madison in that aspect going forward. We let kind of Wolves get back into it because we just couldn't hold the ball in midfield. I thought Saar was quite poor with ball retention and ball passing in the first half. He got better before he got subbed. And then we seemed very, very narrow as well. That Dawson long raking ball out to the wings seemed to catch us a lot as well. We seemed to have to shift over. So we seemed a little bit narrower than normal as well, which allowed them to get down the line. I think Semedo's a very good wing back. So I think, you know, he was having a little bit of joy down his side as well. But we seemed to lose a little bit of control after 20, you're right, after 20, 25 minutes. And yeah, they started to apply a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, and physical as well. I think today we struggled with that a little bit. Again, some sort of like niggly little tackles on a few of our players that were going down injured. So every single time that happens now, I think most Spurs fans' hearts are in their mouths because we can't afford to lose any more players. But, you know, it's always going to be a physical battle against a team like Wolves. They work hard. And I think the one thing about them, Brent, is that maybe they had a little bit of a lack of quality in that final third, didn't they? Because they were getting those positions, but again, struggling to have meaningful chances too.
Yeah, I think Pedro Neto's injured, so he's sort of their main sort of creative outlet that brings the ball to Hwang, who's scoring goals. Like out here, it was sort of billed as the game of the two South Korean attackers that are on form, Son and Hwang. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you're right. They were very physical, and there was the one where Pedro Porro got sort of a bit of an Achilles rake, and you're like, oh god, not him. That's, you know. So yeah, you're right. Like he had to face up to them. I think. We did struggle. Like I said, in midfield, Bissouma wasn't really on it. I think perhaps he sort of knows in the back of his head he's one booking away from a suspension, which he now has. So hopefully when he comes back, he'll be a bit more his sort of how he was at the start of the season. But yeah, the physicality from Wolves, you expect that. And I don't think we dealt with it very well. I think maybe the Chelsea game was playing in our mind. We were like a bit too, well, if we go in a bit too hard, then there'll be red cards and injuries and stuff. So maybe that was a factor.
I think if you're an Oppo team now looking at us today, you're thinking they are bare bones. They are not going to go flying in the challenges. They're going to be a little bit reticent, because I think that might be in the back of some of our players' minds. It's like, I can't go in here that hard. I can't really like go like 100% into a tackle, because I don't know if I'm going to end, thinking of the team first, if I might get injured, or you know, I might not be available for play, I might get a knock in this game. I don't know if an opposition coach is saying, right, they don't want it today, basically, because they can't afford to like lose any more players. I'm not really too sure of if Wolves sit out of the way, but there was a lot of chances being let go today. I mean, Brennan's just said that one on Poirot's Achilles. I mean, that's a yellow. I mean, that's naughty. That's not missed time. That's not trying to block him off. That's he's got past you, and you're just gonna be a bastard and try and hurt him. And that's why I felt. I just wonder if like after Chelsea on Monday, clubs are looking at other opposition clubs are kind of like, we can be kind of out of form. We can bully Tottenham a little bit physically. And I wonder if that played into Wolves today. I know Wolves are a physical team, you know, full stop, but I just wondered if like we were thinking bare bones, you know, like I haven't got a lot of cover elsewhere. I can't afford to like, you know, be out for another two or three games with a knock. I don't know, maybe in the back of psychologically, it might have been an issue. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I think there's definitely an argument there. And you know, you've got players like Højbjerg and Dier who haven't played a lot, Davis as well. You put them under a bit of pressure physically as well. Then you might get some results. And again, like everyone's fears about Dier. I thought he had an all right game, to be fair, but there were plenty of moments in that first half where you saw Dier getting done, and he just doesn't seem to anticipate as well as Van de Ven or Romero, and we've said it millions of times. When he doesn't do that, he doesn't have that recovery pace to get back into the game.
I thought there's a couple of one on ones when the guy was running at him and he was trying to take him down the right hand side, and Dier got a foot in, and there's a really badly spinning ball which was looping behind him, and Huang was coming in behind, and Dier recovered really well. But I know what you mean. It was always kind of not hearts in your mouth kind of like situations, but
no.
You know, Dier did look a little bit uncomfortable at times as well, but I thought he passed it. I don't think he took too many touches and slowed it down too much, and I thought he got some blocks in, especially in the first half. But I can see what you're saying about Dier, mate.
He did all right. I'm just remembering there was a chance they passed it to a man in on the halfway line. I can't remember who it was. He just knocked it, and Dier came flying in, and then he turns around and he's like 4 or 5 meters off the pace there, off that offensive line, running back trying to. I think Davis came in and made a challenge in the end. But you know, we defended quite well in the end in that half under quite a bit of pressure, and I thought it was a difficult challenge in half. Second half, I thought we just came out and didn't get to grips with the game at all. I felt like Wolves came out and were sort of putting us under pressure from the start, weren't they?
Yeah, I think we had a few sort of moments early on. But yeah, you're right. It's sort of, the pattern sort of carried on from the first half where Wolves were bossing the ball.
Yeah, it opened up a bit more, didn't it? I thought that's the fair point. Some of it was end-to-end, but I just felt like they sort of got the better of the physical element of it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it was, I think we did have to change it up. I think the subs were relatively quick. I think Bentancur came on, was it on 60 minutes?
That's 60, something like that. Yeah.
And so we were like, and I think that did help us. I think just in terms of dictating the pace of the game, because it was getting away from us a bit. Wolves were really going at us. And so bringing on Bentancur, he did sort of add a bit more stability to midfield, because Bissouma wasn't really at the races today. I kind of preferred the second half to the first. The first was just all Wolves, whereas the second half I was like, well, at least we're getting a few moments here and there, even if we weren't testing Saar that much early on.
Yeah, I think we created a few more opportunities in that second half. Like we did in the first half, I think we had two shots all game, and we ended up with five chances in the second half. Four. So not a lot. That's the problem. We just didn't create that many shooting opportunities. But I just felt like as that game opened up a bit, there was chances for both sides. And it was just a lack of quality on the ball. And I think that's the one thing, Paul. Like Bissouma, Bren said to me, he's not played particularly well recently during the game. And I think that's a fair criticism. Mm. I think the last three or four games, we were absolutely head over heels with how he was playing at the start of the season, you know, talking about him being the best midfielder at the moment in the Premier League. But he's definitely dropped off a bit, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah, Bissouma dropped off in the last like 4 or 6 weeks. Yeah, he might be carrying something. We don't know. But he doesn't seem to be, like, you know, creating those little spaces, little drops of the shoulder, and beating a man or beating even two men with a ball. He seems pretty far from that at the moment. He might have he had a suspension hanging over him. I don't know if, like, the stupidity at Luton when he got sent off is still hanging over him or not. I'm not too sure. But he's definitely not being not what we expected. Well, he's certainly dropped off from, like, what we saw at the beginning of the season, where he really was, like, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and I think the other point to make, I think we said it at the start, is that if Højbjerg's come in for Maddison, then we'd expect Bissouma to play a bit further forward and try and do that link up. But we didn't really see it today, did we?
No, not at all. I mean, I know they play a 3-5-2 Wolves, but you're still thinking that, you know, when he's got the ball in a little bit of space, he's and one or two players are trying to crowd him out, there'll be another player free which he can pass to. But yeah, we didn't see any link up play. We didn't see him very little driving forward. I thought I wasn't too sure about the sub, to be honest. I thought he should have. I mean, Sarr came off first at 63 for Bentancur, and Bissouma came off at 76 for Lascelles. So I thought Bissouma might have come off a little bit earlier. To be honest, I thought it could have kept Sarr on and then brought Bentancur, Sarr, and Højbjerg. But that's why I sit and talk on a podcast and not being paid millions of pounds to stand aside.
Well, we lost Paul, so you can, you know, you can claim that you were right.
I told you. Yeah, but yeah, Bissouma. Let's hope now he comes back after Villa in his suspension, and you know, and returns to something like we saw at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I've just been a little bit disappointed. Like, he's been a bit absent in games, you know, when you kind of think, oh, right, I can't really think of anything Bissouma's done for the last 10 minutes when you see him do something. And he just didn't have that to start with. He was dominating games. He was dominating possession. He was in defence. He was breaking stuff up. And I just feel like we've kind of lost that a little bit. But the main thing for me is that driving intent, going forward, creating something, committing men, creating space. Didn't do any of that today. And I felt like basically our attack was just try and punt it out wide, hope that, like, Johnson or Kulu creates something, it come back across. And we just didn't have anyone in the middle to sort of get on the ball and play something with some quality. Obviously, when you've got Davis on the left, you're missing Udogie making those runs. We just didn't have enough going forward, did we, Brent? I don't think. And today was sort of quite difficult in that sense.
Yeah, just looking at the stats. So Wolves had 17 shots. So again, it was one of those ones where they dominated possession, and we tried to stay in it, but that made it feel like you were saying about Bissouma. He seemed to get brushed off the ball quite easily. His passing wasn't accurate, and we were sort of, it was a bit hopeful, a lot of our attacking play. Like, Son was being crowded out. I thought that they really did a number on Son. Like, as soon as he got the ball, they had two players on him, and so he sort of had quite a quiet game, apart from getting stamped in the bollocks in the 93rd or 4th minute by Dawson. But it was tough. We weren't at our flowing best in terms of attack, and that just shows that the drop off when we have some injuries. That and I think obviously with the lineup, he went quite defensive. We didn't have a Lascelles or a Bentancur that can pick a pass, so that would have affected our ability going forward.
Saying that though, their equaliser is a bloody good goal.
Well, go on. That's it. I mean, I was going to say, like, they created these chances, but can you think before that of anyone where you were like, oof? I think Vicario was forced into one decent save, which was sort of like pushed wide from the right-hand side. I think it was hit low and he got down to it.
Yeah, that was the first half.
Apart from that, I can't really think of too many chances where I was like, wow, we were lucky there. They didn't have a huge amount of quality in that final third, and they weren't creating that many decent chances. And then the goal they scored was quality, wasn't it? Absolute quality.
We just switched off, throw in, and it's actually Dyer comes over into the right back position, so everything has to switch over. The ball chipped in. That first touch was absolutely beautiful. He killed it, and he kept it in the air, and then just like left foot, and just like, you know, even though it's at Vicario's near post, it was hit with such a bit of a swerve, bit of fade and power. I rewound the telly and just thought, yeah, that's a really, really good goal. And it took some of that quality, because they had loads of free kicks and they were really poor in the dead ball. Thinking, yeah, this could be, we could see this out. And then obviously, yeah, that bit of quality. But I think, you know, you can't really kind of blame our defence for that. It was just a really good first touch and just a really good finish.
I think we can a bit. Like it was not just the recovery pace with Davies and Dyer. It's just the awareness. And like, obviously it was a good run, and it came literally a minute or two after Lo Celso hit one, and he couldn't have hit it better. It was a good save from Sarr, and it was going right in the top corner. And you're like, that when that was saved, I was like, oh God, that's it's going to come back to bite us. And but yeah, I thought we could have got a bit tighter to him. He had so much space, and obviously you're right, that first touch killed the ball, and maybe, but I just think some defenders with a bit more wherewithal, a bit more sort of alertness and awareness of what's going on around them, gets a bit tighter to him. But yeah, you're right, it was as they say here, a golazo.
Yeah, but I think that's what we're just gonna have to expect with Dyer and Davies. They're not quite as on it, and like we say, their recovery pace just isn't quite there. And even though it was a very good move, very good touch, I agree with you, Bren. I think if we'd have been a bit more aware and a bit tighter to him, then and you know, watching runners, then it would have made it a bit harder for him. But yeah, you can't really argue when someone controls it and then first time finishes it like that. You've got very little time to react to that. So it was a great goal. But then after that, it's just, I kind of felt like this against Chelsea a little bit when we'd lost the first red card, that we were still playing dangerously. And I know, like, he's going to stick to his guns and stick to his principles, Ange, and we're going to keep playing the same way. But like, there's quite a lot of principles in Ange Ball, and I don't think that means necessarily that we have to stick to all of them. And sometimes, you know, playing out from defence and trying to do things quickly and not settling. You know, we've seen in previous games that we did seem to sort of slow stuff down to sort of see out a game. But today, I don't know why we weren't doing it. Once they scored that goal, the next few minutes just seemed a bit of a panic for us, Paul.
So they score in the 91st minute, and then obviously you think, right, okay, calm heads. You've got some experienced players on the field. You've got Dyer, etc., Davies, international players. Like, okay, just calm us down. Let's just hold what we've got. And maybe that's been kind of coached a little bit out of them, and Ange thinking, okay, we can still play our systems. We still play our types of play. And unfortunately, we give away a free kick. Royale kind of like kicks the ball but carries on moaning to the ref, and before you know it, the ball's behind Royale, and that they're up against us, and I think Dyer and Davies try to play offside, and yeah, Lamima kind of like just like beats offside trap, and then yeah, puts it in pretty much 30 seconds to go. It's we're looking at it with hindsight, right? And obviously, you know, you can say, why can't we, as I say, resort to like just hold what we've got? But, you know, Ange's been very, very, very vocal, especially after Monday night with the Chelsea game, that he's going to stick to their systems and stick to their play. And this is the way it's going to be now. We have to make peace with that. And sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have an issue with it, apart from the fact that the players that were asking to do it at that point, I feel like it was Davies, it was Dyer, Højbjerg, and I don't think any of them are technically the best under pressure or with the ball, etc. And I feel like expecting them, you're right, Emerson Roared as well. Like, that whole situation was a mistake because we were playing it to feet in a very congested area. It wasn't like they had time on the ball. I feel like at that point, with a few minutes left, we should have been looking to put it out wide and then support those players, get the ball, you know, recycle it, whatever. Just keep possession and don't put it in those areas where if we lose it, we're under pressure. And you're right, like, we gave that free kick away and Emerson is not getting back quick enough. No. The ball is clearly there. Mm-hmm. Dyer and Davies, you're right, are back. But, you know, Davies has to come across. Emerson's trying to catch up. And by then, everyone's out of shape. It's just, you in that situation, whether you take a yellow for kicking the ball away, whatever you can do, one of the other midfielders get in and stand on the ball. Just, you know, other teams do it all the time. Just stop that quick ball being played. Give Emerson enough time to get in position. We didn't do that. And yeah, you're right. This is all hindsight, but these are the sort of things that we should be doing.
Also, Højbjerg does let Lamima go. I mean, Chris, guy who's just near me, was saying that, you know, that Højbjerg, like, just didn't track his run. I didn't pick it up first time, but as I say, I rerunned the TD back. And yeah. Højbjerg just lets him go. Just he knows he's there because he glances at him over his shoulder and just lets him and lets him run at our centre backs, which is, I think.
But Dyer doesn't react either, right?
Not really. No. Dyer and Davies obviously know they're going to try and play him offside. I don't think Dyer knows where Lamima is, to be honest. And yeah, and he's. But you're right. Emerson, you've tapped the ball away, stand in front of that ball, right, and stop it being taken. You're not in any kind of hurry. You're not in any kind of yellow card situation, et cetera, et cetera. Just take one for the team and that's it. But no, you're right. And, he wasn't a yellow, so maybe he couldn't stand on the ball. But, you know, somebody somewhere has got to slow that down and not let that break go. That's concentration, I think, as well. And a little bit kind of, I don't like the phrase game management, but I'm going to use it. And you think someone's going to be a bit cuter there and just like see those last 90 seconds out.
Speaking of cute, did you see Brian Hill's moustache? Fucking, he should have got a book for that. But he kept coming central.
Brent, he's like half my age and his moustache is still better than mine.
But in that midfield sort of confusion, we just sort of weren't able to like hold on to the ball and they got the free kick quickly. But Brian Hill, just whenever he got the ball, just was brushed off it so easily. Just that he doesn't have that physicality. And you're right, and that quick free kick, that's what caught us out. Like we were just on the back foot ever since that. And again, it's about a bit more, being a bit cuter, a bit more nouse to not let them take that quick free kick. And yeah, it was just so frustrating. It was a good finish from Lamino. You have to give him his props there, as Mr. Muir loves to say. But it was just so annoying. Again, I was swearing so much. My missus, she hates it when I'm watching football in the house, just swearing all the time.
Yeah, that Neil Brent. What do we think of the subs? Because we talked about Brian being a bit weak, but I thought some of the stuff he did was quite good. He held onto the ball a few times.
Think so?
I thought Lo Celso.
Seriously, do you think he was all right?
Well, he didn't have a lot of time. I mean, let me get some stats on him.
He came on the 75th minute. I don't think he touched
it. What was your general impression then, that he gave the ball away?
No, I don't think he gave the ball away. I think he was in good positions where he could have like opened his body out. I thought receiving the ball, his body shape was all wrong. I didn't think he took anything on the half turn, which forced him inside all the time when he could have when he could have took it down the line, a Kulusevski kind of style, or even he has got the raw pace of Johnson, who I'm slightly worried about because he pulled out with a calf issue just before he got subbed as well, which is a little bit concerning. But anyway, Brian Hill. Yeah, I was kind of like, basically stick to the byline and like try and take your fullback on. And I thought, in a one-to-one situation, somebody tricky like Hill might be able to like, get a little bit of joy. But no, he seemed to like always kind of like take the ball with his back to goal. He got a lot of the ball as well. But I don't think he did much with it. And as Brendan said there, he's like one of those little Oompa Loompa guys. He just gets brushed off the ball really, really quickly. Mm. And he needs to be a wee bit stronger, in my opinion. But sub-wise as well, I thought, as I said, Basuma and the Basuma Sarr was the wrong way round as well, which was a real shame.
What do you think of Lo Celso? Because he put himself into a few tackles, didn't he? But again, going forward, didn't really offer much apart from one shot, I think he had.
I thought he did two really good tackles, 92nd and 95th minute. I've actually written them down. Yeah. He did a sliding challenge from the wrong side. He gets the ball and he kind of sweeps his body around and he starts another attack. I thought defensively was really good. I thought he was neat and tight. I think him and Bentancur looked all right. Obviously, they are going to start, I think, probably, because Basuma's obviously been suspended now. So one of them will start after the international break. I thought Lo Celso looked neat and tidy. I think he looked for the forward pass, but Son was offering absolutely jack shit today. Dawson will go home tonight. Keys, wallet, phone, Heung-Min Son when he takes his pants off tonight. And, I just don't think, that a forward-thinking player like Lo Celso had a lot of options to pass forward. So, but on the whole, I thought he did fine, especially as I said, those two tackles and defensively.
And that's good in terms of, like we were saying, that we are short on numbers. So the minutes that he got in today, hoping obviously that he steers clear of injury. I don't know if he'll be called up for Argentina, bearing in mind he hasn't played that much for us. But it does bode well that he got. I thought he played okay. Again, he's. He does get brushed off a little bit too easily, not as much as Brian Hill, but as I said, the only other shot after the goal that we had on target was his, and had that gone in, it was just so close.
This is it. We had a few chances. I think Kulu threatened a few times, and again, just maybe his final ball was macking. But you're right, Kulu. You said he had a really good game today, and he's there just doing all the hard work. He was like the only outlet, and I feel like we weren't committing forward as much today as we normally do. Part of that might be because we were 1-0 up and we didn't feel the need to. But I just feel like a lot of what he did was kind of thankless tasks in the end, because they'd get men around him, and unless he was supported, he struggled. But again, just in that final third, it's not quite clicking for him, and it didn't really click for anybody today. You're right, Son offered nothing in the end.
He's not really dropping that shoulder again and coming on his left foot and trying to curl into the far side. Also, as well, he's still not releasing that. I mean, there were easier. He could have slid in Son at one point. It was ahead of Dawson. We would have been on side, and it was an easy inside ball between the fullback and the left-sided centre-back, Kilman. That was it. And Son would have been in. That was an easy pass to make. We could all see it on the TV. He didn't do it. There's a couple of other balls when Saar broke forward as well on his side, and he could have slid. He didn't. He's not, I mean, yeah, this is why, again, I'm on a podcast and he's playing football at elite level, but it's easy for us to say, but he's still not just reaching the ball at the right time. And also, that curling left foot shot into the far corner doesn't seem to be there this season. I don't know if, but then again, he's obviously, as you say, a great outball. I mean, he's running. He's incredible what he does. Yeah, it is incredible that he looks like it's going to be taken off him at any point, and he'll jink in between two players, and he'll get a foul or he'll get a pass away. And yeah, he's. I thought we might have tried him inside today, midfield. I think we spoke on our Patreon chat earlier in the week, in the Chisholm Patreon chat, about maybe him as an option instead of Madison. I think HG said it last night on the YouTube. Really good YouTube last night as well, if you can find it, and talking about maybe him coming into the middle as well. But yeah, Kulusevski, it's just, yeah, he's just, and offensively he's doing everything right apart from the final 5%, and it's quite frustrating. But he offers that out ball. Offers a really, really good out ball.
Just quickly before we go, Brent, we've now got the international break. Do you think that's come as a good time for us? Because obviously we've got a few of our players that are quite tired. They've all been beaten up. And, we've obviously got suspensions, injuries, etc. It's probably come at a good time, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that the injuries that we have, the important ones are longer term. So we're not going to get Madison back or Van de Ven back. So had one of those, at least one of those, been in line to come back after the international break, yeah, I'd agree. But it gives a chance for us to, like I said, have a bit of a breather. It is good that we do have this couple of weeks, but the injuries that we have are the serious ones, are longer term. We'll get Udogi back from his suspension, and that's just it as well. Like, the players going out, what if one of them gets a knock? What if Udogi? You know what I mean? So it can work both ways.
No, I agree. I think it's just probably a good time, because we started off so brightly. It felt like everything was going in one direction. Obviously, this is like two bad results in a row. I feel like a little bit of a break now to sort of like regroup, refocus is probably good.
Sorry, I think you said something really good early on. It's like maybe there's a little bit of a hangover from Monday. And I think, you know, this break, in answer to your question, I think this break could probably come at a good time. You know, we are going to lose, you know, a couple of players, you know, but we're also going to have a time for Ange to like maybe work on some kind of like, you know, like, okay, Chelsea's gone, unfortunately, today. You know, as you say, it's always on in the past. And let's move forward. He's got a time now to like regroup and let this week kind of settle and effectively like be in the rearview mirror, and he can now work in his national break with, like, you know, to go forward to Villa and then go for, and obviously we've got City, which no one's expecting anything from us on that, especially with the issues that we have. But I think I think this break's come at a good time. We can regroup and come back and then smash Villa up on the Sunday.
That's kind of wishful. I mean, we talked about December. I think smashing them is wishful. Yeah, I don't think I think they're a decent team still, and I think with us missing key elements to our team, yeah, I think us smashing them is wishful. But we'll see. I'm willing to be proved wrong, obviously. But look, you know, we looked at December before. It's a real busy month. It's good. This is kind of make or break. Like, we are going to miss them for the best part of like 10 games or something like that. I think it will be. Talking about Van de Ven, we're gonna lose him for a good part of the game, and Madison as well, probably. I'm kind of hopeful that his isn't going to be quite as bad as the hamstring pull, but you know, we're still talking about January for him at the minute. It's a real pivotal part of the season, and yeah, we'll get them back in January. We've got to go again, but you know, December's going to be a massive month, which we'll talk about more in subsequent pods, I'm sure. Today we're just going to have to lick our wounds, and like I said, we've got a sort of a 2-week break, and before we get back with Villa. Right, Cheeseheads, let me just quickly mention football prizes. There's no specific Spurs prize this week, but there's plenty of other decent prizes on there, cash prizes, all sorts of memorabilia and stuff. So get involved there, footballprizes.co.uk. If you join our Patreon, you get a 15% discount off all ticket prices there. So an extra incentive to get involved at Patreon. That's patreon.com/thecheeseroompodcast. Right, Paul, thanks ever so much for joining,
yeah,
as always.
Yeah, no dramas. Yeah, nice and early today. It's still quite a nice sunny day here in London. It's a nice sunny day in the UK, because if you watch the game, you can see it was like nice and bright. And yeah, just off out now. And then UFC 295 tonight. Tom Aspinall, heavyweight.
Come on, Tommy boy.
So yeah, back in time for that. Probably treat myself to a pizza tonight. There you go, cheese. It's a little kind of like peek behind the green room curtain there, and watch a bit of UFC. Yeah.
There you go. And just got to give a shout out to Jimbo and James and their mate, whose name I can't remember, who met up with us before the Chelsea game. So always nice to share a beer with our patrons.
Yeah.
Bren. And a big shout out to my mate Bailey as well. And Seb, who were both at the Wolves game today, disappointed, getting text off him saying that he's bad luck.
If we're giving shouts out, I belong to quite a nice gym in London. And Amy, she's realised that, yeah, I'm a Tottenham fan. She's a season ticket holder in the South Stand as well. So Amy, if you're listening, thanks for joining up and stuff. And it's always really good to like have your thoughts on what we do. So cheers for that.
Top stuff. Bren, just for joining. Have fun down the beach.
Yeah, we'll do. No, it's been fun. I needed this. I sent it to Paul while you were picking up your pizza from Jason Dazelle or whoever it was that was delivering it there. This has cheered me up. So, off to a kid's party in my Speedos. What could go wrong?
All right, cheers, Eds. As always, thanks for listening. Look out for the YouTube guys. We'll be back on Monday, and there'll be stuff over the international break to look out for. So, till next time, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, Spurs.
Fucking my day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.